Good morning. This morning we continue our celebration of Easter. Now it's interesting because I was thinking about this last night when you deal with Easter. Because we have one Good Friday service. And when the church set up the calendar, they saw it necessary that we would continuously celebrate Easter for four or five weeks. And the reason I think this is as individuals and as a church, that Jesus is not in the tomb. He is alive. This morning we will find out that He's still absolutely fully human, that He appears in flesh. And He also, we would understand that He is alive. And to show us His presence, we will also see Him reference the law and the prophets, everything that was written there. And then, we will get the encouragement to go forth as witness and bring the gospel to the world. And so, because Jesus continues to do this for us each, and greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 30 through 49. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the hearing of the Gospel. Reading, and as they thus spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted. They had seen a spirit. And He said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands, myself, handle me, see me. And for a spirit had not flesh and bone, as ye see me have. Thus spoken, He showed him His hands, His feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, He said unto them, Have ye here any piece of broiled fish and of honeycomb? And He took it and did eat before them. And He said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you. All things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened He their understand the scripture. And He said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Amen. Please be seated. For today comes very shortly after Jesus had been walking with men on the road to Emmaus. And they had now run back to the disciples and were telling them about their experience in coming face to face with Jesus Christ on the road. Our text picks up. And as they were talking about these things, Jesus stood among them and said, Peace be to you. Again, we have this advice of peace be unto you. Now, this was a traditional Jewish greeting, but this is also something that's much greater. When the resurrected peace be unto you, He is declaring the peace between God and mankind, between you and God. God is no longer at war with you. And Jesus declares that to us even today. Or it goes on to say, but they were startled and frightened because they thought they saw a ghost or a spirit. So here are these men, and now most of us would probably, it's got to be a ghost. And this is a scary thing. The man who you had seen die upon a cross like that and then be shut into you again. It's got to be a ghost. Because dead men don't rise. I've said this before, but I've been able to proclaim the gospel at lots of funerals in the last 11 years. But no one's ever gotten out of the casket. Human beings, this is one of the hardest humps for people to get over. Because we don't see dead men rise. Eight, they're absolutely scared. And now we see Jesus do what Jesus does, especially after His resurrection. He is about to give them they can know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that He is alive. Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your heart? This is also for us. Because whether we like to admit it or not, as human beings have these same doubts. I would love to say that every day that I come into the office or I go out, that yes, I know Jesus is alive and I know I'm not just beating my head against the wall. But our flesh is strong. Though I don't like to admit it, those doubts even come to my doorstep. And that's the times when you have where Jesus reveals Himself to the disciples and makes sure that they know, no, I am alive. And He says, see, my hands, my feet, it is I. Touch me. Come, put your hands upon me. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And when He had said this, He showed them His hands and His... You see, we now kind of come back to this whole point of what He said to Thomas, and we discussed last. You believe because you have seen. Blessed are those who believe or who have not seen and yet believe. We don't get to see Jesus Christ in the flesh. But God has a way by the power of His Word and through the proclamation of Spirit to bring His gospel to us, to make it real, to come and encounter us. And it is in that encounter that we Christ is alive. And now we see just exactly how weak human beings can be. It says, while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling. So here we have Jesus standing in front of them. They're able to touch Him. And they're still like, I don't believe. This can't be. But if we say and believe what we say, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Son of the Creator, the One who spoke our world into existence. Does He not have the power to raise someone, especially His Son, from the dead? Death is nothing to God. And His disciples, you know, are as human beings. And yet, through these men, the world will change. And so He goes on to do something more so that He's alive. He says, have you anything here to eat? And they gave Him a piece of broiled fish, and He took and ate it. Now this will date me a bit, but back in the day when I was in high school, a famous movie came out called Ghost. And it depicted the little fat chubby green ghost eating and all the stuff falling through. And this is exactly, if it is a spirit, it cannot contain the physical. And so by eating, it would just fall upon the floor. So if Jesus takes the fish and the honeycomb and eats it, ends up on the floor in a big mess. What Luke is getting across to us here is that these disciples absent in the flesh, and that he ate and he drank and you could touch him, and they were witnesses to this thing. And the reason that we too could understand and know that Jesus Christ was alive in the flesh. And again, about what was happening. And he says, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything in the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled." And this is the thing. From the beginning, redemption of mankind was Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. When He created Adam and Eve, that they were going to sin. But He also knew that He was not that sin. He was going to sacrifice His Son, the Lamb without spot or blemish. His blood was going to flow in payment for our sins. God knew. And He told Israelites in different parts of the Old Testament that the Christ would come. Now they did not recognize Him. When He says, "Rulers of the people and elders, we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man. By what means the man has been healed? Let it be or to all people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by Him this man is standing. Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else. No other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." You see, Peter at this time, Sanhedrin, just as Jesus had been, proclaiming that, listen, that man that you killed, that man who you thought it would be better that he die than the whole nation of Israel be all set aflame, was the Son of God. You turned him over to Pontius Pilate and had him crucified. You cried out for his blood. And now, this is the news that changes the world. Because now there is no longer need to satisfy God because of our sin. Now we have been raised with Christ to new life. That weak now, and that all the Scripture has been fulfilled, and we start the new covenant through the blood of Jesus Christ. Understanding the Scripture, and said to them, "Thus it is written that Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and free proclaim in His name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." Jesus comes now to His and gives them the message. You are to go forth and proclaim the death of the Son of God. Tell people that He has died in satisfaction for your sins. That you can now proclaim to them that they are forgiven in His name and shed blood. Now alive and outside of the grave, no longer held by death. And that people should repent, turn away from their sin, should change their mind, should, yes, and even feel sorry. And this is the message that is to be proclaimed to all nations, to all people. That we would say this to the disciples at this particular moment, but He calls us even today to this same message in this same occupation. That we would bring the message, that we would go out and share the love of God through Jesus Christ. And that we would start at home. Proclaim in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Beginning from the home. Beginning from where you are right now. We talked in adult Bible study this morning about the church. And Mike a little bit. How I have really come to appreciate the love and the respect that we have for each other here. And the caring that people. And I am very thankful for it. But I ask them, and as I ask you today, do we have a neighbor that they would want to be part of it? And I don't say this to guilt you, but what I say this for is that we are the gospel. We are the ones that bring people the gospel. It is our occupation to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to our communities and to the people around us, our neighbors. We're not all called to preach a sermon. We're all called our lives in service to God, in service to Him who showed mercy upon us. That we, to our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, all those people whom we have influence over, that we would bring them into a place and cared for. Because the world doesn't care. The world doesn't care for the individual. The world would just as soon turn their back on the individual and kick them when they're down. The church, welcome those who are down. We as the church care for those when they're hurting. Bob. And you now, as the scripture states in verse 48, are witnesses of these things. We now are the witness. He revealed Himself to us through the proclamation of the word, through the teaching of the word, through the actions of people around us to this resurrection. I've said this before, and there were two men when I was young and in my teens who took time to teach Sunday school. They didn't have to. Who took their time who had a lot of problems, who went through a lot of things in his life that he didn't even bring upon himself. And they cared for him, gaining nothing for themselves. Because of those two men, I stand before you today. Not to lift them up, but they were serving their God. They were serving Jesus Christ and were witnesses and showed witness to who He was and the care and for people. This is who we are called to be. We may not, but if we can help one person understand how much God loves them, it's well worth any price we need to pay. Not have to do this by our own power. Because He says to His disciples in the end of this text, He says, "Behold, I am sending the promise of My Father upon you until you are clothed with power from on high." Jesus is talking about the power of the Holy Spirit that comes up, that power now works in us. That we no longer have to work or worry that I don't have enough strength. Because the truth be absolutely correct, you don't. But you now have the power, the third person of the Trinity who is indwelling you and giving you witness. Who thought that 11 fishermen and some zealot named Paul could go out and absolutely change the face of the planet? It makes no sense. But the power of God working through those men will change. And that same power is in us today. We think, well, I can't. What can I do? You are now partakers of Jesus Christ. You are now partakers of the Holy Spirit, the power in the world. You are now a child of God. And we have seen this in John, and Mark read this for us earlier. The Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. And so we are. You have been given everything in Jesus Christ. We are the power of God by His Holy Spirit. We are the most victorious entity on the face of the planet. We are the church of God, of Jesus Christ. We have every ability to go out and... We are the children of God. We have to now start living in that victory, in the victory of the resurrection of Jesus' of death and of Satan himself. Live in that victory and go tell people about it. Because guess what? They want. We are now witnesses of Jesus Christ's death. And let us go out and do what witnesses do. Tell people about that message. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's, most loving Heavenly Father, we come before You and we give You thanks for this day to come and to hear about Your victory through Your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask for that same empowerment, that we would realize it is that Your Holy Spirit is just as powerful today as it was when the disciples first received. We would go forth from here and be witnesses of His sacrificial death and of His resurrection. That Father, love and Your mercy to all those people that we come in contact with. We thank You, Father, for the opportunity again to come and hear that message, the message of Your gospel. Father, we ask now that You would help us by the power of that Spirit to be doers of, for Jesus' namesake. Amen. Raise your heads and your hearts and receive the Lord's benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.